Today, our topic, oh, by the way, I'm Shireen, and I live in the United States, and I was born in India a long time ago, seems like, but I've been living in the U.S. for the past 25 years. So, our topic today is about secrets for ascension. But before we talk about the secrets for ascension, we should together reflect on what does it mean to ascend? Why do we want to ascend? What is the reward after ascension? Right? There is a reward, right? There wouldn't be nothing. If you ascend, there is something there. You know, one of the sweetest things for me whenever I hear Baba in the Murli talk about those who ascend taste the nectar of heaven. And so, what is this nectar? What do you think? What's your reward? Why do you want to ascend? To get peace, to get happiness, yes. Bliss, yes. That it's natural. Ascending is natural. The soul ascending. The soul just ascending. Bodiless stage or the seed stage is, you could say, a means for ascending. But the soul, there is ascending degrees that the soul feels that it is progressing up. And so the first thing for secrets for ascension, I'll give you some points. The first point you could say is we need to find out what we are going to get when we ascend. And what we are going to get, I want to share a story. So there was once a man who inherited a carpet. It was a beautiful, beautiful carpet. It was a beautiful Persian carpet. And he decided he was going to sell that carpet. And so when he goes, he finds the most expensive carpet store in town, and he goes to this carpet store and he says, I would like to sell this carpet to the shop owner. And the shop owner says, how much would you like for this carpet? And since I live in the U.S., I use dollars. He says, I would like $100. The man. And the shop owner looks at the carpet, looks at the man, and without saying a word, he takes out a $100 note, and he gives it to him, and the man is very happy with his $100, and he's walking out of the room, of the store. And the shop owner says, come back, I have one question for you. Why did you ask just $100 for this carpet? And you know what the man says? Is there anything more than $100? Because that's all he knew. He didn't know anything beyond $100. He thought the max amount of money was $100. So if we think about our reward of ascending in the confluence age in terms of the Iron Age, then we will be like that man. We won't know the value of what we are doing, what we are ascending for. And so we first really need to establish this. We need to establish the value of why we are. What is it that I'm going to get? And to be able to get that, to be able to really understand, not just in terms of the Iron Age, But in terms of the reality of what it is, then I have to not have any metrics of the Iron Age. You know what metrics means? So metrics are measurements. And so if I, let's say, I have a measurement of success, right? So give me a measurement of success. I have a huge house and a huge mortgage. That's considered success in some societies, right? They have a huge house and a huge loan. And what people don't understand is how big a headache it is and who's cleaning the house, all of that. No one is thinking of those things. But anyway, so that is success. And some people's success could be, I have 100,000 Facebook followers. You know, metrics could be that. Or I put up a video on YouTube and there were 1 million hits. 1 million views on my YouTube video. And so that is also a metric, right? That's a measurement of success. So your video only had 200,000 views and my video had 1 million views. So I am better than you because my metrics, you know, my measurement of success is that, and I have a better thing going on. And so the question is, if I want to understand the reward, then what is it about the Iron Age I have to let go? Is I have to let go of measuring myself according to what is happening in the Iron Age. And so instead of my reward being a reaction to what is happening in my life, it is actually a going towards something that is really sublime. So a reaction would be, oh, I'm not getting on with my, you know, people at work. And so I'm having a lot of fights, I'm having a lot of stress, so I need to meditate. Right? It's a reactionary meditation. You're meditating because you want to get away from something. You're reacting. And so instead of taking your support, or even in that case, it is a kind of support where you're taking your entry point into meditation as a reaction from the Iron Age, then you will never really understand the reward. And so the reward has to be understood on its own. And that can only happen when I step away from measuring myself according to what is happening in the Iron Age. And so the first thing is to understand the reward. And the second thing is no metrics of the Iron Age, that we don't disassociate any metrics of the Iron Age, that we do something for the pure joy of doing it, not because I'm going to get 100,000 Facebook followers. Right? So those two things. And the third one, which is very, very important, is to really understand what my enemy is. And so, when Baba uses the words Sato, Rajo, and Tamo, Sato, Rajo, and Tamo, so it's usually translated as pure, middle-level pure, and impure, right? But that's not the only translation. Sato means that it is pure, it's wisdom, it's joy, right? That is the Sato stage. It's pure, wisdom, joy. You have total understanding. Your wisdom is coming from an awareness beyond anything of the world. And you know what Rajo is? Is where you are very ambitious. That is what is Rajo. A Rajo energy is you are overachieving, you're going getting, you're ambitious, you are, you know, rah, 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 life, you know. Let me go make another, you know, 50% more salary if I go do this job for 24 more hours. All of those things, that is Rajo energy. Where it's ambitious, it's achieving or overachieving, and there's always us and them, and, you know, there is passion. Rajo is where there's a lot of passion. Like just ambitious passion. And then, you know what tamo is? It's not just impure. Tamo is not just impure. Tamo is where you are lazy, where you feel nothing is working for you, where you are depressed, where you are totally not connected with anything in life. There is like a tamo energy is where it's just laziness and sloth and woe is me and nothing is working and I'm the victim of everything that's going on. That is tamo energy. And so if you want to become Rajo, what is your enemy? Tamo, right? So let's say you want to achieve. You want to go get. You are ambitious. If you're lazy, if you are nothing is working for me, I don't want to do anything, I'm depressed, will you get it? No. Nope. And so what is the enemy of Rajo? Tamo. Right? And guess what is the enemy of Sato then? Rajo. And so most of us, when we come into Brahman life, we need to have a certain, let's say, goals or this or that, right? But after a while, those goals don't serve you. Or going after, you know, this rajas desire, rajo desire, I want, I need, I'm totally ambitious, all of those things will not help me become to my sato stage. So just like tamo is the enemy of rajo, rajo is the enemy of sato. And so if I want to ascend, right, I'm going ascending is rajo, tamo, rajo, and sato, and then sato pradhan. That is the ascending stage. And so if I want to ascend, then I have to understand where I am on this ladder of tamo pradhan, tamo, rajo, sato, and sato pradhan. And decide what my enemy is. I have to understand my enemy. And so many times, my enemy is my own rajo desire. And Baba in Avyakt Murli many times says this. He says, accha and icha. If you have icha, which is if you have desires, then you cannot become accha. You cannot become good. So if you have rajo icha, rajo desires, then you cannot become sato accha. And so, but, there are times then what kind of desires I need to have, and there are also times when I need to have desires because it's going to get me out of tamo energy. but because otherwise I have the risk of falling back into the tamas stage. Because most of the time we are oscillating between these states. Sometimes we are sattva, sometimes we are rajo, sometimes we are tamo. And so if I say, oh, I don't want any desires, I'm carefree. No, it's really okay, whatever happens, whatever is in my fortune, then what happens? Then I have the risk of falling into tamo stage. And so we have to be really vigilant and say, I cannot be in this tamo stage. And tamo state many times could also be a comfort zone. I'm just very comfortable. You know, I'm comfortable in my laziness. Do you ever feel that way? Comfortable in your laziness? You're lazy and, you know, sometimes you don't want to be lazy, but sometimes you're really okay being lazy. And so we have to come out of that. And to be able to come out of that, we have to have certain goals. But the goals have to be according to Srimad. And then what happens is, yes, the goals can be according to Srimad, but what happens is the number one mistake we Brahmins make, which comes to my fourth point. Do you remember the first 3 points? What are the first 3 points? You have to understand the reward is one. What's the second one? Yes, no metrics. We cannot, especially Iron Age metrics, right? Our measurement of success cannot be according to what is happening in the Iron Age. And the third one is I have to understand my enemy, whether it is Rajas or Rajo or Tamo. I have to understand what is my enemy. And then the fourth one is the number one mistake we all make, is we mistake and we camouflage Manmath with Srimath. And the secret of Srimath is that not all the time Srimath is the same for everyone. Right, so many times Ramesh Bhai shares the story. Our senior brother Ramesh Bhai shares the story that he went to Baba one time, Sakar Baba, and he said, "Baba, can I drink tea outside?" And Baba said, "No." And then Brijmohan Bhai, a few days later, went to Baba and said, asked Baba, "Baba, can I drink tea outside?" And Baba said, "Yes." And so, both are valid, no? So obviously, Srimath is not the same for everyone. Because for Ramesh Bhai, no. For Brijbhuvan Bhai, yes. And so, why? Why do you think he would have said that? Because of the circumstances in which maybe Ramesh Bhai works and the circumstances in which maybe Brijmohan Bhai works were very different, right? And so, so I hear the story and I decide, I mean, let's not talk about tea, but I decide I want to eat a pastry outside. Right, I go by a pastry shop and there's this wonderful, beautiful pastry calling me, beckoning me. Eat me, eat me, eat me. And then I remember this and says, okay, but Baba gives permission sometimes that I could maybe give drishti to my food and eat the pastry. Right? And so what am I doing at that time? I am camouflaging my manmat with Srimat. I think that my manmat is Srimat. And so the number one reason why we are not ascending is we think our manmat is Srimat. So I'm giving a very gross example of food. It could be anything. One time I was with Dadi Janki. This was about 20 years ago. And a sister was very, very sick. Very sick. And she kept asking Dadi, is it okay if I sleep through Amrit Vela? Because I'm not always able to get up. And Dadi wouldn't ever say no. I mean, the sister was very sick. She wouldn't say, no, you can sleep through it. She kept saying, no, you should try, even if it's for a few minutes, just get up and sit with Baba and all of those things. You know why she would have done that, right? What, you think because she doesn't have compassion? Is because it is Srimat to get up for Amrit Vela. And also, I'm sure Dadi was aware that several people were listening to what she was saying. And so she didn't want her words misinterpreted. To, okay, the next time I have a slight headache, I decide I'm not going to get up. Because Dadi said it was okay, you know, she said it was okay, she's sick. So I'm sick, I have a headache, I will not get up. And so there are many, many occasions where we think our manmat is Srimat. And so one of the most important secrets is we have to really look at ourselves very honestly and see, am I really following Srimat? And Srimat is very different from the Maryadas. So Maryadas are, you know, celibacy, vegetarian, Amrit Vela, go to class kind of thing. Those are the Maryadas, right? They are our Brahmin principles, you could say. And that's very different from Srimat. Srimat is more to do with my own personal life. How am I inculcating spirituality into my personal life? And I'm sure all of you have heard hundreds of times Baba say, follow Srimat. And you are establishing the kingdom of the golden age by following Srimat. Right? Pretty much once in a Murli he says that. You're establishing the kingdom by following Srimat. And so imagine that. How many people in the world want world domination right now? So many people. Everyone, every country, everyone wants to dominate the world. And Baba is giving us a secret and saying, all you have to do is follow Srimat and you can establish your kingdom over the whole world. Kind of world domination in a way, right? In a benign way, but in a different way it is that you actually will get the kingdom of the whole world. And so to be able to get the... So imagine how important Srimat is. And imagine how important it is for us to understand how Srimat relates to me, because the whole kingdom is being established based on Srimat. So imagine how important that is and how important it is for us to understand the deeper significance of Srimat and whether I'm following Srimat or not. and so not to mistake my own Manmat for Shrimat. What number is that? 4? Okay. Any questions so far? Is there a difference between desires and goal? Okay, goal is like a end point, right? And desires are the energy I'm putting into it to reach that end point. For example, let's take a Rajas desire. A Rajas desire would... A Satapradhan desire? A Satapradhan desire would be, I want to be completely combined with Baba. And the goal is, I'm combined with Baba. Right? And then there are certain desires I could have to reach that goal. There are certain things I could say, okay, I want to be combined with Baba. So it is a desire, but also it's the end point. And I am able to, I have to have 8 hours of yoga a day. That could be, you know, a pure desire. Or it could be every Amrit Vela. I want to have that really, really pure connection with Baba. That would be another pure desire to reach this goal of being combined with Baba. So that's the difference between the desire and the goal. Satapradhan desires are not necessarily coming from outside. Satapradhan desires could be my original nature is combined with Baba. And that is who I am in my original state. In my eternal state, I am linked with Baba, in union with Him. But Rajo desires, yes, they're outside. And the goal is also outside. How do you know? Good question. Good question. And also, in various ways, Srimad is different, right? For example, I take care of a center. And Baba in the Murlis has many times said, you have to run your center according to the laws of the land. Right? And so the laws of the United States might be slightly different from the laws in India. And if I do things according to the laws in India, while I'm living in the United States, that's not Srimad. I can do, when I'm living in India, do as you would do in, you know, Romans do or something like that. Do as you would do in Rome. And so if I'm living in India, then I can conduct my whatever I'm doing the way I would live in the law, according to the laws here. But if I'm living somewhere else, then I have to follow the Srimat of that. That is Srimat. So there's a subtle difference between Srimats, you know. And so they could be Srimat around your own personal life. They could be Srimat around how to interact with people. They could be Srimat around your work. So there are different kinds of Srimat. They could be Srimat around how to run a center. They're very, very different. And so for administrative Srimat, for example, administrative Srimat, I cannot say that Baba in the Murli, for example, Baba in the Murli says, drop leaflets from airplanes. Right? I cannot take that literally in the United States, because if I drop leaflets from airplanes in the United States, I'll go to jail for littering. And so I have to conduct myself according to the laws of the land, and that is Srimat there. But if it's personal, and so the way, so each of them would be different. So how would I know something is Srimat? Let's say in administrative wise, then I would go to the senior instruments in that country to know what is Srimat there. But let's say in my own personal life, then I would have to read the Murali 5 times. And really see which part is Baba talking to the soul. And that part is Srimat. Or 5 times, or 10 times, or however many times. You are really connected with Baba, and to see when he really is talking to you. And that would be Srimat. But I am having a lot of disclaimers around that, because you can't say if in the Murali he says go drop leaflets, you can't just go drop leaflets. You know what I mean, right? So it has to be, the soul has to be very clear, it has to be very pure, it shouldn't have any desires in it. And then when you sit with that clear, pure, honest heart, then Baba will communicate what is Srimat to you.
Can we say like the letter of Srimat and the spirit of Srimat?
Yes, yes. The letter of Srimat and the spirit of Srimat? But not on the airplane, right? Right. That one of the aspects of Srimat is also it has changed over time. And let's take even this whole idea of dropping leaflets, right? When Baba said it, he was talking to a much smaller BK group, right? He wasn't talking to a huge, now we are close to 1 million BKs. And also he was talking in a different time, 50 years ago. And now we have 50,000 organizations saying, this is God. You know, God says, God saves you, you know, God died for your sins, blah, 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 fill in the blanks, right? And so now our idea of dropping leaflets might not be the same as what 50 years ago. Because more recently, Baba said, all of you have passed in service, all of you have passed in love, because he doesn't want it service to be a comparison thing. You know, it's because, oh, they did it, I'm going to do it, or they, it cannot be that. And so you really need to see the context of when Baba said, how he said it, what is he saying now regarding this particular topic. So you have to take into consideration all of those things. So the fifth one is slightly harder, but it's absolutely essential. You want to hear it? You have to kill the character that you are in right now. So the example is, let's say me, I have to kill the character Shireen. And so you know what dying alive means, right? Baba keeps talking about dying alive. And what is dying alive? Shireen, as Shireen, needs to die. The story around Shireen, she was born in India, lives in the United States. This happened to her when she was 18, this happened to her when she was 22, and this is happening to her now. And she has so many problems at work, and blah, and blah, and blah. Whatever story you're telling yourself about your life, that has to die. The character Shireen has to die. In place of the character Shireen, you have to replace it with an angel. And you know what the most amazing thing about an angel is? It's completely, an angel is transparent light. There is no I and mine in an angel. An angel only reflects God. There is no own stuff going on. There's only God's reflection. That you are a reflection of whatever Baba wants you to reflect. There's no I and mine. But this whole concept of killing the character, whatever, you know, the character, whatever your story is. I was born in this country, and then I came into Gyan at this time, and I like my coffee this way, or whatever it is, the story, is, you could say, like in a movie, right? What happens in a movie or in a play is, let's take a play. There's a play going on and you kill a particular character, right? And when that character dies, there is the likes and dislikes of the character, there is the story around the character, there is the how the character felt bad, how it didn't feel bad, what made it tick, all of those things, everything dies. Right? That's what dying alive is all of that just dies. But guess what? The character only dies. The actor, the soul, doesn't die. But I have to kill this character. I have to kill the body-conscious character that I'm carrying around with me to be able to stay combined with Baba. If I don't do it, why? Why should I do it? You cannot have yoga with Baba. As long as you are Shireen, you know, I like to get up at 4 and I like my coffee and then I like to sit and I have this particular sari I wear and I like to sit in this particular spot, and what's happening? There is no yoga. Why is there no yoga? It's because I'm taking my whole baggage. My whole baggage, my whole story, and I'm sitting there. And you know when Baba says that he is the real beloved, he's the real bridegroom, he's the bridegroom of all brides, and we are brides, and he's the real beloved? What does that mean? that his love is not for you wearing a white sari. His love is not because you're sitting in a particular spot. His love is not because you have a particular story. His love is not because you look a particular way or belong to a particular religion or are Indian or, you know, Hindi or no, whatever it is that you think. His love is beyond all of that. His love is for the soul. And so till I experience that love, Baba's love, that soul love, till I experience it, I will not be able, and I will not be able to experience it till I am in character. I have to step outside of the character. I have to see myself outside of this whole story and persona and personality I've created and become that bodiless soul who has taken 84 lives. You know what that means? That this is just one of 84 characters. I cannot get stuck in this character. Like I can't get stuck in the 83rd one or the 56th one or the first one or the second one or any of those things. Because I have to go past. I have to go past it. And only when I become bodiless. And bodiless means that I lose my story. Whatever story I'm telling myself about me, I lose that story. You know, I'm a Kumari, I'm Indian, I'm whatever, fill in the blanks, I'm this, I'm that. Whatever story that is, when I lose my story and become bodiless is when I have that deep connection with Baba. Because the soul opens itself up to Baba's love when I go beyond this character. Samja? Understood? One last one. There are many more, but one last one. You know what the last one is? Do you want to pick one? What do you think is necessary to ascend and be combined with Baba? Yoga, yes, yoga. I and mine, yes, I and mine, no, I and mine. Seva. Seva is important, yes. So there are three things that Baba says that have that create our fortune. There are three things that create our fortune. One is seva, right? It really creates our fortune. When we do service, it creates our fortune. What's the second one? Remembrance. When I remember Baba, it creates my fortune, right? You know what the third one is? Blessings? No. Renunciation. Renunciation. So the three things that create my fortune is service, remembrance, and renunciation. And so renunciation is extremely important to ascend. And renunciation of I and mine, renunciation of my own ego, which is a very tough one. Renunciation of the fact that I'm right. And also a renunciation of an expectation of how things should go. Now we always have an expectation of how things should pan out. I talk to someone, there's an expectation that this situation should be like this. This thing should be like this, right? I feel the renunciation that we really need to have to be able to ascend is renunciation of like almost a surrender to the drama. That whatever happens in the drama, I should be okay. That I surrender to it. I renounce an expectation out of how it should work out. I renounce an expectation of when I'm talking to someone that they should be nice to me. It's okay if they're nice to me, it's a bonus. But if they're not nice also, it should be okay. That there shouldn't be any expectation out of it. And even situations, right? Oh, it should go this way or it should go that way. That kind of expectation, we should totally renounce it. And so what happens is when you have that kind of renunciation or that surrender to the drama, you could say, that when you surrender to the drama, that whatever happens, right, I could be thinking a million things, I could be wishing a million things, I could be doing this, but drama is going on. It has its own rhythm. It's not going to change because you are wishing a certain thing, or is it? Are you hoping it goes a certain way? Does drama change that way? Nope. Does not. It has its own rhythm. And to really submit to it, to surrender it to it, to submit... You know what surrender is? Let's say when you have weapons and someone else has weapons and they say, put your weapons down. You surrender your weapons. So in the same way, you surrender your expectation. You just submit and you say, okay, this is the way it is. I accept this is the way it is. One last. Lately I've been thinking about formulas a lot for yoga. And Baba, in Baba's latest Abhyakt Murli, gave a beautiful one. And that is Mera Baba, Meeta Baba, and Pyara Baba. So when in doubt, when you don't know what to do, and you're stressing out, when Maya is attacking you, all you have to do is be in the awareness of those three aspects of Baba. My Baba, sweet Baba, beloved Baba. Even though Pyara Baba is translated as lovely, it's not lovely. It's beloved. Because lovely implies you're beautiful, you know, you're pretty. Oh, it's a lovely little arrangement. It's not that. Pyara means actually beloved. And I've been using this since Baba has mentioned it again in the latest Avyakt Murli, and there's such a feeling of being totally combined with Baba. This feeling of... And you know in Mera Baba, right, that there is this acceptance. I accept Baba. And because I accept Baba, Baba is accepting me. And then because of this acceptance, and then I'm realizing how sweet Baba is, and I'm able to have this relationship with Baba as the beloved. Me and Baba, and no one else, nothing else. And then when we are really combined in that experience, that is when we can really experience Baba's companionship, this all the time. because all I have to do is when in doubt. Remember the slogan, when in doubt. My Baba, sweet Baba, beloved Baba. That's all I have to go into the awareness. It doesn't have to be too complicated. You can forget about all of the five or six steps. Just remember that. All right. So, my dear brothers and sisters, you have any questions? Yes. So the tamo stage is when I am depressed and woe is me, nothing is working. And you could basically sum up the tamo stage as laziness, right? And so to be able to get out of that laziness, I need to motivate myself with a few goals, few desires. You know, one of the things that, there are many, many things I really appreciate about Brother Anthony's classes. But there's one thing that he said that really I think about a lot. And it's in his 8 Principles of Spiritual Living or something. And that album, he says that. And he says that a pole vaulter is using the pole, right, to jump over the beam. He's using a pole to jump over the beam, but at some point he needs the pole to jump over the beam. But if he keeps hanging on to the pole, he will not be able to jump over. He has to let go of the pole. And so many of the things in our Brahmin life also, what we needed so far is not necessarily what is going to take us to the next level. So we have to learn to let go. Just like the pole vaulter has to let go. The pole is needed to a certain extent, but after that, the pole vaulter has to let go of the pole to jump over. And so in the same way, in our lives also, think of it. You know, what is it that I'm hanging on to that's not letting me cross over? So whatever has gotten me this far is not going to get me to the next goalpost. I have to let go of what got me this far to be able to go to the next goalpost. A practical example? Anyone wants to give a practical example? Simple thing like using meditation commentaries, yes. That you need it to begin with, but after a certain point it could just hinder your progress. Oh, okay. You want the taking on some responsibilities.
Yeah.
Maybe letting go of those responsibilities, yes, yes. Taking care of some responsibilities and some maybes, and letting go of them at some point. Reading Brahmin books? I'm a reader, so I like reading. Churning can help a lot, yes. Yes. Okay. Can people share with the mic because then can translate the questions? I'll try to repeat the question, but if you want to come up. Now that we have a mic, no more questions?
Okay, I tried in English. I'd like to hear more about difference between Srimad and Maryada. How you be here, I'd like to hear about avatar. How is the idea emerged, and if there is another program coming?
The first question was about the difference between Maryada's Brahmin principles and Srimad. And so the principles are, you could say, underpinning our lives. They're kind of, we all follow them. For example, when Baba says Murli every day or Amrit Vela every day, that's a Brahmin principle. Srimad is more when how you could apply certain aspects in your own personal lives. How to take, for example, let's say you money, how to use money. It's not necessarily a Brahmin principle per se, but they could be a Srimad for you pertaining to how your situation is, how many dependents you have and what kind of debt you have, how you should use your money versus how I should use my money. So that's the difference between Brahmin principles and Srimad. And in regard to the avatar journey, how did it come about? It must be Baba, really. Because I don't even remember. I feel one of the things about Baba is how he engages different people as instruments and he gives credit, but it's really his thing. And for a while, maybe the soul was experimenting with formulas, and so must have happened that way. But there's a whole team also that works on things like that. And what is next? Just last night, the RCs approved of our next initiative, which is not just going to be for sustenance, but it's also outward facing. And it's called Seeing into Being. And so everyone will know about it very soon. It's about seeing into being the golden age. There are two meanings for seeing into being and why we picked seeing into being the topic, the golden age, seeing into being. One is we see into the nature of being, or into the true nature of being in the golden age. And the other one is when we can actually transform, when we can actually see certain things, we can bring it into being. There is a transformative element to our seeing. The way we see, we can actually bring it into being. All right. So, 2 minutes of meditation before we close. Oh, no.
Sorry. When you were talking about letting go of metrics of the Iron Age, Baba does talk about indicators that I'm making progress. I don't know if you could just perhaps maybe clarify then what metrics. Obviously, I know he's mentioned about that, just so that I'm able to be aware if I am moving
progressing along.
No, I'm not going
metric.
Through.
I mean, there are many.
Yeah.
There are many, but I will mention one metric, which is very, very important to gauge how much I have progressed, and that is how soon can I put a full stop. After a situation happens, how soon can I put a full stop is the best gauge of how much I have progressed. Okay.